Jesus is worthy of it all. He is the only one worthy of it all. He deserves all our praise, all our worship. He sacrificed all for us, for you and me. Amen? And that's the good news. That is the good news. You have a Savior. And He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be Lord of your life. Now, y'all don't pay attention to anything going on back here. We're just setting up a thing. We're going to do something a little bit different today. But, you know, I just want to encourage you in this one thing before we get to what we're going to do. In class today, we were talking about declaring and decreeing a thing. You know, whenever I write a letter or an email, I typically end it with, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord gives you ears to hear what He is saying. But, you know, we've got to hear it, then we got to speak it. Right? We got to hear it. It's got to drop down into your heart as revelation. And then out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. The mouth speaks. So I'm encouraging you today that when you hear something, you're going to hear a lot of stuff today. Like someone was telling me in the back, you know, they were listening last week and just one phrase stuck with them. One phrase. If you just hear one phrase, one word, it can change your life forever. But you have to let it drop down into your heart as revelation, and then you got to speak it out of your mouth. Amen? Yeah. Glory be to God. Well, welcome to Christian Growth Center. Y'all can be seated. The exploding word in Worship Center, New River Valley, we like to say that. The word is exploding and explosive in your life. It can explode things out of your life, and it can draw things to your life. Amen? You need something out of your life? Man, put the TNT of the word to it and explode it out of there. Amen? Take care of strongholds. You know, you ever seen those movies where, especially like if it's medieval, not medieval warfare, they probably didn't have bombs back then, but they got a big stone wall. You know, and okay, I'm thinking of one instance. You know, Lord of the Rings, I know a lot of y'all probably don't like that. Hey, it's good versus evil. But they're in the strong home, they're in the helm. It's called, the helm of the deep or deep of the helm or something like that. And there's this one little opening that allows water to come in, and that was their water source. But it was an impenetrable wall, and they put this bomb right there in that little opening and blew the bomb up, and it breached the wall and allowed them to come in. The word can be that bomb exploding that stronghold out of your life. Amen? The word, the TNT of the word. Well, like I said, we're going to do things a little bit different. Y'all see some chairs set up here. I'm going to have a conversation with Dan Foley today. He's a local business owner. I met him, I guess it's almost 3 years ago, if I'm remembering correctly, and a mutual pastor friend of ours invited me to come work out at Dan's health and fitness center here in Christiansburg. And I started up, and like, you know, I had my route sales job at that time, and it was hard to be consistent. And so I kind of fell away. And then after my short stint in the hospital, I recommitted and wanted to really start working out on a regular basis. And I've been doing that since, I don't know, October maybe. I can't remember when I came back, Dan. But Dan opens his, I hope you're okay with me sharing this. Yeah, okay, he shook his head. I do you like I do Wanda. I said, can I have permission before she knows what it is? But he opens up his gym 3 days a week to local pastors. I believe he, you know, we have a vision for the New River Valley. You know, that we are responsible as a church body for the New River Valley, spiritually speaking. And I believe Dan has caught a hold of that. Not from me, but he had it before we started even talking about it. But I think he sees, and correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe you can address this in a little bit. But he sees as helping the pastors be healthy and fit, not only physically, but that physical health and wellness translates and helps the pastors to, how am I putting this? It helps their spirit life, really. I mean, it does. I mean, you know, have you ever been, let me put it this way. You ever got home from work or early in the morning and you knew that God was leading you to read your Bible or pray or study or do something, and you were just worn out. You just couldn't bring yourself. Well, I mean, when you have health in your body, that gives you strength and energy and the ability to, I believe, perform on a spiritual level better. If that any makes sense, I don't know. But anyways, we're going to do things a little bit different. I'm going to have a conversation with him. And the thing that came to mind, and the reason I shared about opening up the gym to pastors is, Dan, you've got seed in the ground. And I know you talk about seed time and harvest in your book, so you understand seed time and harvest. And he's put seed in the ground in the New River Valley by allowing these pastors to come in and work out at his gym. And I believe you'll receive a harvest from it. I believe you'll receive a harvest from that. Well, Daniel Foley is the owner of Foley Health and Fitness and the author of two books. One is Seven Dates with Jesus, Crossing Over into Abundant Life. And the second is Cracking Heaven's Code, God's System for Restoring Abundant Health. After traveling all over the country and studying with some of the best health and fitness experts, Daniel became a human guinea pig as he tried different exercise and nutrition plans. Finally, he came across two people, both living past the age of 100, who were still thriving, and they both said the same thing, that all of their secrets were in the Bible. All of their secrets were in the Bible. This insight launched Daniel's insight into the Bible, and reading his Bible several times through, he began to see God's ways of creating not only abundant health, but a more abundant life. Will y'all join with me and welcome Daniel Foley to Christian Growth Center? He's going to come up.
Thank you, guys.
We're going to sit down and get comfortable and have a little conversation.
Yeah.
So, Dan, let me just ask you, I prefaced you when we were at the gym, and I said that we've been talking as a church a lot about getting in alignment with your assignment. So what do you sense or hear from the Lord that your assignment in this earth is? What do you?
First and foremost, I guess my assignment is to make the body of Christ healthy. And I know we talked a little bit earlier, is whenever I hear that word alignment, I always think of something I learned a little while back, which is our body, also the body of Christ, a church body, any organization is actually a form of what is called a liquid crystal. So you guys are probably familiar with liquid crystals. Liquid crystals like LCD display, like your phone or TV may have an LCD display. Well, these crystals, they're this, they call it a third type of matter, where they're not a liquid and they're not a solid. There's something in between, and they do both. And so the analogy kind of is, Jesus is the rock, he's the crystal, but we're more like a liquid crystal, and that we have to be able to adapt and create order in life sometimes. And so these crystals are an interesting thing, how they actually work. I had a scientist that came to the gym that she came in. She had done her doctorate work on liquid crystals and wrote a book on it. And she was teaching me all about this. And she says the first step, if you want to get these liquid crystals to work and to create a picture, what they do is they end up creating order in all kinds of different scenarios. And the first step you have to do is you have to put a boundary around them. Once you put a boundary around them, they have the freedom to move on the inside and to kind of go wherever they please. But then the next step is they have to create alignment. So step number two is to create alignment. She says there's two ways that you can create alignment. Number one is, she calls it the scratching method, which is you can take a piece of cloth and you rub it across the screen or the glass in one direction, and the crystals will align with the grooves on the glass there. Right. And she said that's the way that most of the world does it that way. That's probably 90% of it is done that way. But there's another way that fewer people use, but it's a better way, actually. And she said it's the light method, which is you take a polarized light and you shine it across the glass in one direction, and the crystals will align with the light. And so that's a pretty powerful, when we start to look at, viewing God's word as light. Okay, that's kind of the process for me of, how did I start to get aligned with my assignment was, I was traveling, like you said, all over the country, and I'm seeking out these experts in health and fitness, and I learned a lot of really good stuff, but I ended up almost getting more confused because none of them agreed on anything.
Right.
It's like one guy says to do this, the other guy says the complete opposite. How do you know, health and fitness, you go to Barnes & Noble, there's like, I don't know how many books are there. There's a million books over there on nutrition and health and fitness and all this stuff. And it's like, how do you know who to believe?
Right.
And so, you know, I grew up in church, but I never really studied my Bible much before. I kind of drifted away from it. And I came across this, the one in particular guy. He was 113 years old. Still looked great. He was still flying across the country teaching nutrition seminars.
Wow.
And was doing everything he wanted to do. He said he'd never been sick a day in his life. And I was like, all right, this guy's got something figured out. As I better listen to what he says, he said, hey, everything I'm doing, all my secrets are in the Bible. And so I just got it out, and I started to read. And I just started at the front in Genesis and just read kind of all the way through.
Right.
And I just got so much out of it the first time through. I wasn't looking for, you know, Christian stuff. I was looking for health and fitness. I was looking for nutrition. But I got so much on every level that I just kept repeating it over and over and just kept reading the Bible over and over. And things started to become, you know, more clear as we do that. So.
Yeah. But. Isn't that amazing how I like what he said when he was reading through the Bible, looking, researching one particular aspect, but yet it revealed so much more to you than just what you were looking for in health and fitness. Yeah. Well, Dan has written a book. It's called Cracking Heaven's Code, God's System for Restoring Abundant Health. And I can tell you, there's a lot. You could probably get the drift just by what his explanation of alignment and crystals, but there's a lot of information packed in that book. But what I like about it, Dan, is how you've sectioned it off. You talk about seven pillars, and then those seven pillars within each pillar, you divide that into seven. And, I mean, we all know that seven is God's number, right? So you really break it down, and I thought that was real interesting. But I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. So, what is the story behind this book? I mean, how did that come about?
Yeah, so I came across this, I'm traveling all over the country. I'm searching for truth, really, is what I'm looking for. And I come across this 113-year-old guy. I start reading through my Bible. And, you know, in the course of time while I was traveling all over the country, one of the things that I had started to learn, one of the mentors I had was a guy up in Rhode Island who's trained, like, gold medalist in every Olympics for the last, I don't know how many Olympics. And he got me into studying, like, Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine and some of these things. And as I'm getting into my Bible, I'm wondering, like, well, does any of this have any relevance? What's the deal with all this stuff? Because I'd seen that some of it had worked in the past. And so I'm reading through my Bible, and I come across the Feast of Israel. So I don't know how familiar you guys are with the Feast of Israel, but things like Passover and Pentecost and these seven feasts. And I didn't know anything about them. So I just prayed, and I said, all right, God, I don't know anything about these. They're in the Old Testament. I don't know if they have any relevance for me, you know, at all. And but if they are, would you just give me a sign? And I didn't know what I was kind of in the early days. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know, you know, much of anything. And so I started researching the next feast coming up, which was Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. This was in the fall of, 2013.
Yeah.
And I started researching that feast, and they have a tradition where they eat apples with honey to signify it's like their New Year's Day in the Jewish culture. And so I started researching that. They eat apples with honey. I said, well, you know, that'll be, I don't know what else to do, but that'll be fun. We could eat apples with honey. My wife, Trisha, and we had our daughter, Anya, at the time, said we could eat apples with honey. Well, the feast starts in the evening, like a New Year's celebration would. And that morning when I got to the gym, I had made a note when I left the house that morning, hey, we needed to pick up some honey because we were all out. And when I got to the gym that morning, my very first client walks in with a great big jar of honey. And that's the only time to my recollection that I've ever gotten a jar of honey at the gym. So she walks in with this jar of honey, and I'm like, okay, I guess there is some relevance to these feast days. And so 10 days later is the next feast. It's Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. So you're supposed to fast. I'm like, oh, I don't know what else to do other than fast. Well, it didn't take long. About 9 o'clock that morning, God started to show up, and I started to get all this revelation on the number 7, how 7 times 7 is a complete cycle. And in the Old Testament, they had 7 cycles of 7 years, and then they had the year of Jubilee. And I had started to see some of that, and he started to get this revelation of how 7 times 7 is a complete cycle. It's just running through my head over and over. And as this is happening, I'm playing on the floor with my daughter Anya, and there's rainbows all over the floor around us. And she's like, look, there's a rainbow. Look, there's another one. Look, there's another one. And so I'm starting to get all this revelation on the number 7. And then 2 days later, our second daughter, Kira, is born. And my wife's labor and delivery, the whole process exactly to the minute, almost was 7 hours. And it was broken into very precise time intervals. And God started to show me some patterns hidden in the number 7.
Yeah.
And then so I'm like, that's basically the first two feasts. The next feast, which was about another week or two later, I kept hearing, you know, you need to go check the day you're baptized. Go check the day you're baptized. Well, prior to that, in that pattern of my second daughter Kira's birth, he had been showing me this pattern in the Bible of how the Israelites, you know, on their journey into the Promised Land, they cross the Red Sea, which it says was like their baptism, and then they cross into the wilderness. They're there for 40 years, and then they cross over. And then he started to show me that Jesus got baptized, went into the wilderness for 40 days. Yeah. It's the same exact pattern you see playing out. And so I've been learning about this. I started to see these connections, and I kept hearing, go check the day you're baptized. And I asked my wife, Tricia, I said, do you know where the certificates are from where we got baptized? And she goes, you mean this one? And she had it in her hand. And I'm like, why do you have that in your hand? And she said, well, you know, it was in our, we got baptized really close to when our first daughter, Anya, was born. Yeah. And so it was in the baby book. And we just had a new baby. And so she's got the new baby book out. She's kind of comparing and reminiscing. And she happened to have it in her hands. And so I take a look at the book or at the certificate. And that was September 25th of 2013. We had been baptized on May 25th of 2010. It had been exactly 40 months to the day.
Wow.
And I'm starting to get the message. Okay, wait a minute here. You know, I was like, all right. But I thought, you know, all right, well, the good news is I know what's next in the progression, right? You know, you come out of the wilderness and you cross over into the Promised Land.
That's right.
And what I didn't know at the time was that there is a process that they had to go through to actually cross. There are some specific steps that they had to take to cross over into the Promised Land. So that's the first book that I wrote, was 7 Days with Jesus. And what that book started to do was it started to teach me, I started to see in each of the seven feasts, I started to see spiritual insights into Jesus. What's the relevance of each feast is they teach you something about Jesus. They teach you a different aspect of him. So, for example, like the Feast of Unleavened Bread is all about Jesus being your righteousness. And so each of the feasts teaches you a different angle of Jesus. You know, it's one of the things I've learned about truth is that truth is being able to see things from multiple angles and perspective and put them in the proper kind of sequential order as well. And so when you see all these feasts laid out, you see like a different angle of him and what he's done for you.
Yeah.
And so when I started to see that, I started to see some connections into what I had learned from some of the mentors in the health and fitness. And we started to see basically this code. So your body operates similar to like a tablet or a computer or a smartphone, and that it has software coding that's running your body. And it's a numerical code, so it's a digital code. And it's all based on number sequence. So each of those seven feasts has a number associated with it. So as an example, we see on the third day, you know, most people know Jesus. What happened on the third day? Jesus rose from the dead.
Right.
Well, it was also, that day was also the day of first fruits, which was the third feast. So you see another connection there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what? So we see this insight into regeneration and renewal, bringing back to life. Well, in the revelation of the Feast of First Fruits, we see that Jesus presented himself to the Father, and he sows the Spirit of Jesus back into our hearts. So we see revelation on seed time and harvest and some of these other aspects as well. So I started to make some of these connections, and I started to be able to lay out the feasts. And I knew in Chinese medicine, that's kind of where the rainbow comes in, which colors did what in the body. They have a whole teaching on, you know, like, for example, the color green, which is the number three, nourishes your liver and your gallbladder. And so they have a teaching on how, like, green flavor or green colors, sour flavors nourish your gallbladder, which is no coincidence that that's the one organ that if it's completely destroyed can regenerate itself.
Wow.
Okay, so your God has set up your body on this code. And if you know the codes, so every food that you eat, every type of exercise you do, and then the most powerful thing that I discovered while I was writing the book is that all of your emotions send codes that are just as powerful as any food or exercise that you do as well. They all send these codes to your body, and they're all just signals or commands telling your body what to do.
Wow.
And if you know how to, you know the language of this code, so coding is a language, you know, you need to be fluent in the language to be able to code effectively like a computer programmer. If you know the language, you can effectively kind of restore the code in your body.
So green is associated with three.
Yep.
Jesus rose from the grave on the third day, regenerated or was resurrected.
Yep. On the third day of creation, what did God make? God made the land and all the seeds, too. So you see, if you go back into the creation story, you compare creation story with the feast, and then I compared it with what I knew to be true with the colors in Chinese medicine, and all of a sudden you see all these correlations starting to play out.
Wow. You know, we've been talking in the last couple of weeks about how everything in the Bible points back to Jesus. Everything in the Bible, and it's amazing that the seven feasts, even, there's information in there about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yep. That is so cool.
Yep.
So you said that coding is a language, mm-hmm. and that there's a set of principles that you must know to operate the code. Can you just tell us a little bit more about these principles?
Yeah, so you have, just like the English language, there's rules. You know, I before E, after C, you know, where do you put the commas, where do you put the, you know, how do you grammatically do things?
Right.
Well, this code is a language, and so every language has a set of rules, and the rules are found in the mysteries of God. Okay, and so we walk through in the book, we walk through, I think it's 8 different mysteries of God, which would take us a little while to go through all those. But
yeah.
But some of the mysteries, I think the most profound one, which is kind of this process of going through the mysteries of God, they teach you how to be balanced. So, for example, one of the things that I struggle with when I'm traveling all over the country is how do you know who to believe? Is that they all had differing opinions.
Right.
And they were on complete opposite ends of the spectrum a lot of times. And the truth, what I've learned is, you know, the truth is found in the difference, in the tension between the two opposites. So, for example, you know, should you do cardio or weight training? Well, the answer is both.
Right.
It's not one or the other. The answer is both. Or should you stretch or do, you know, resistance training? Well,
right.
The answer is both. Or is it, you know, should you eat a lot of vegetables or should you eat protein? Well, the answer is both.
Right.
And so that you find the answer is usually in the tension between the two. So they teach you how to be balanced. They teach you how to be even more importantly to be consistent. You know, the keys of being consistent and building momentum over time. But my favorite one is what I call the table turner. I know we've talked a little bit about that, the idea of the table turner. So the table turner is found in the book of Esther. So you guys are probably familiar with the story where there's a law written that is effectively going to destroy the Jewish people there. And Esther is queen.
Right.
And in those days, once a law was written, it could not be overturned. Okay. And so she gets the king to write a new law that gives the Jewish people the right to basically attack anyone that attacks them. And it says that turned the tables. So the new law that was overriding on the first law turned the tables,
right.
and put them, you know, gave them the advantage. Well, in each area of your health, so I'm going to backtrack just a little bit here, but, you know, so what is that a picture of? Jesus, what does Jesus do in the Gospels? We see him, he goes in and he turns the tables.
Yeah.
Jesus is the table turner. We had an old covenant.
He
says, I did not come to abolish it or to do away with it, but I came to bring you the new covenant that overrides it and turns the tables.
Yeah.
And puts things back in your favor again.
Wow.
Okay. And so you have this table turner. So in the book, we talk about the 7 table turners. So in your mindset and emotions, what is the thing that turns the tables? In your nutrition, what's the thing that turns the tables? In joint health, you know, all the different categories. So we got sleep and energy, fitness, in your body composition, which is losing weight or gaining muscle, and then just overall health and longevity. What are the things that turn the tables?
Yeah.
And, you know, get things back, giving you momentum and restoring your health in those different areas. So that's one of my favorite ones is the table turner.
Right.
And then the other one that kind of goes along with that as well is, you know, I've thought of it when they were doing worship here. I'm not sure what his name is. One of the guys talked about Jesus is the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
And we talk about that's a principle. Jesus is the beginning and the end. That's a principle. So I used to have a coach. I played baseball in college. That used to always say, he was probably the best hitting instructor I've ever been around, and he used to always say, if you get the beginning and the end of the swing where it's supposed to be, everything in the middle will take care of itself. And so it's a principle. If you get the beginning and the end of anything in the right place, if Jesus is the beginning and the end, that's
right.
the reason for the principle, everything in the middle will tend to work its way out.
Wow.
And so, you know, you could apply that into, you know, the beginning and the end of your day. How do you start and end your day?
Right.
You get those in the right place, and, you know, everything in the middle tends to work out.
That's good.
And then, you know, another principle that goes along with that, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes that the end of a thing is better than the beginning.
Yeah.
So the beginning and the end are both important, but the end is more important.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to know the end from the beginning.
Wow.
Okay? And so you start to put all these principles. It gives you a framework for kind of how to think a little bit differently and kind of renew your mind, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
So.
Wow. Now, one of the chapters in the book is on mindset and emotions. And
mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit more about that chapter, about mindset and emotions.
So one of the things, really for me, kind of the breakthrough for me in writing this book was on the understanding emotions and just how powerful our emotions are and how they send codes that are just as powerful, probably more powerful than, you know, what we eat, how we exercise. You know, Jesus says, you know, nothing outside of you makes you unclean. It all comes from the inside, from your heart, right?
Yeah.
And so One of the things we teach in the book is that you are, I mean, I know you guys probably teach this here already, which is, you know, you're a three-part being, your spirit, your soul, and your body. And too often, we try to separate those. Okay, the three are supposed to become one, like the Trinity. Okay?
Right.
The three are supposed to be one. And so we try to separate out, oh, I'm just, this is just my nutrition, this is just my mindset and thinking and emotions, and this is my spiritual life. And kind of like you were saying earlier, it's hard to be spiritual if you don't feel good.
Right.
Right. And so understanding that those three are connected, right. They're bound together, and they function as one. And so we talk about in the book that the coding, the software that runs your body, is basically the beliefs in your heart. Is the things that you believe in your heart, out of the abundance, you were referencing earlier, yeah. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
So the things that you truly believe is true in your heart is the software. And that can be truth, or it can be lies.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can be believing lies. And so if you have software that's built off of lies, you know, Jesus said what's going to happen if you build on anything that's not truth, right?
Right.
Build on anything that's not his word, you can have software that's there and you're going to have short circuits. So you see people, maybe they're self-sabotaging themselves or they're you know, having the same issues over and over and over again. They can't seem to break through. Well, the answer is probably not in the nutrition. It's going back and fixing the coding in the heart.
Wow.
And then your emotions are very, very powerful now because they're the bridge between the two. They're the connector
right.
between the two sides.
Right.
And so your emotions are literally the language of your soul. And they teach you. If you can learn to tune into what your emotions are telling you, they will let you know when there's an issue in the software. If you can pay attention to what you're feeling on the inside.
You know, I found that very interesting when I read that in the book about, because I think we tend to think of, you know, bad and good emotions, but... Mm-hmm. Really, God gave us our emotions.
Yep.
And they can all be used for good if we know how to interpret them.
Yep.
And that's kind of talk about that, how they're like a not a litmus test, but you know, they kind of, you explain it. You can explain it better.
They're feedback.
They're feedback.
Yeah. You know, your emotions are letting you know what's going on the inside.
Yeah.
You know, if all of a sudden, you know, you're stressed out about something and you don't know why, that's letting you know something's going on the inside, the inside there. We need to, you know, do some, I think some of the most powerful work you can do is that inner work of kind of fixing the coding that's going on the inside. But these emotions, and kind of you referenced it, we tend to think of emotions as good or bad.
Yeah.
You know, like anger is bad. Well, right. God gets angry.
Yeah.
It says he gets angry. It says there's things that he hates. It says there's, you know, you see God experiencing this full spectrum of emotions, and we tend to think of, oh, you know, I never want to feel that. The difference is it's okay, it's paying attention to what you feel and being aware of it and then using it to make corrections and using it to make adjustments and using it to, you know, give you feedback so that you can adjust.
Right.
And then there's also the, you know, the idea of God is slow to anger
as
well. So he's not just jumping right to it.
Yeah.
You know, it takes him a while to get to that place, which is we talk about that coding with anger is related to control. So do you have the ability to control the anger is a part of that coding system. So.
That's cool. Yeah. That's awesome. So what are the, just share some of the tips that you gleaned from this 113-year-old man.
Yeah, so he's got, I mean, there's several things that I learned from him. You know, one of the first ones, he talks about the importance of color.
Yeah.
So he talks about you want to make sure you eat every color every day. So every color that you're eating, and he's a chef. By the way, at least part of the time he was a chef and he was a massage therapist for a while.
But 113 years old, he's doing all these things, right?
But every color every day. So different colors have different codes. Every food you eat sends a different set of instructions to your body. And so you eat every color every day, you're nourishing every organ system in the body. And so he would talk about it's important for long-term success. You need to make sure that your food looks good, needs to taste good, and needs to smell good for you to be successful over the long term. And so he's hitting all those. So flavors send instructions to your body. Colors send instructions. Smells, anything that comes in through your senses sends instructions to your body.
Wow.
So that's one of the things. One of the other ones that I like is, you know, he talks about your body is the temple of God, right?
Yeah.
And so what do they do in the Old Testament with the temple? They always anointed it with oil. And so he had a practice where he would, you know, put olive oil on his skin regularly, and he was 113 and had like no wrinkles. So I'm like, well, he must be onto something.
Yeah.
And then another one he did which was he had a habit every night before bed. He would wash his feet, and then he would dry them off, rub off any dead skin with a pumice stone, and then he would put olive oil on his feet. So I've had several doctors that have told me that have people with liver issues, that helps pull toxins, the oil helps pull toxins out of your out of your feet while you're sleeping, which eases the load on your liver, which I've had, we've got some doctors that work out at the gym, they talk about with, they have people that are struggling with liver issues, that actually seems to help. Wow. But it's actually in the Bible. So in Song of Solomon, the bride, who's a picture of the bride of Christ, she says she washes her feet before bed. Jesus says, if you've had a bath, you still need to wash your feet. And so this principle of washing your feet before bed is another biblical principle. But those are just some examples of stuff that he was doing that most people are not aware of.
No. How many parents in here have or done it to yourself, put Vicks on your feet with socks on if you're coughing or something like that?
Yep.
I mean, that's that principle, I think, right? Is drawing that out of your mind.
Well, and it's you know, if he was asked, you know, what's the one food you can never do without? And he goes, well, there's not really one food, but if I had to say one, it would be olive oil.
Wow.
And so I came across him. I came across another lady who was 122 who said the same thing. Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. If you look at olive oil, that's what they use to anoint people with. They anoint all the prophets and things like that with olive oil. But out of all the foods that there are, olive oil is actually the one that has the highest electric charge. Every food has an electric charge to it. Olive oil is the one that has the highest electric charge out of every food, so the most power, basically, behind it, which is what they use to anoint people. And all of a sudden, you know, there's a change that occurs typically.
Right.
So,
how many people were going to go home and bathe in olive oil tonight? How many of us with wrinkles are going to start and flush? I mean, this is, I'm telling you, it's fascinating. The information that he's put in this book. But what else, you know, would you like for us to know about the book in addition to what you shared already?
You know, when I was kind of writing the book and kind of going through that process and working on trying to find a subtitle for the book, and of course, you know, wrestle with my own stuff of putting like God's system for abundant health, but he really wanted to make sure that I put that word, and I said, you guys have it up over here, restore.
Yeah.
Restoring abundant health. And the thing of it is it can be restored. Mm. That's the biggest thing I've seen through the years is we've had clients, if you follow, the biggest thing I would say is one of the principles we talk about in the mysteries of God, there's kind of two, we talk about there's balancing principles. So there's, for every principle, there's another one that balances it. And so it's, you know, it's the double-edged sword of the word. So it's got two sides to it. Mm. And so there's always a balancing principle for everything. Everything that's in the Bible, there's always another verse that says the opposite, is one of the things I found. Mm. And they balance each other. And so one principle is that the Bible says that the earth is prone to decay, right? To rust and decay. So our bodies, if you do nothing, the natural process for things is for them to decay, to age. You know, in science, they call it entropy. For chaos to set in and things to go the wrong direction.
Right.
And that's a principle. Everything in this world is prone to go that way. But the good news is there's another principle that balances that, which is that Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so the things that you actually have to do to restore health are not that hard. Hmm. Everyone thinks that you have to go on this crazy diet, or you have to work out till you throw up, or you have to, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. You don't have to go to those extremes. You need to show up more regularly and be more consistent. So the other balancing principle of that is what we call easy strength. I came across these two guys. Their name's Dan John, and the other guy's a Russian guy. I can't pronounce his last name, but his name's Pavel something with a T. and they have a book called Easy Strength. This is when I started to put some of these things together. Right. I read their book, and I tried it out. And they said the fastest way to get fit and to get strong is to lift lighter to medium weights, but to show up more frequently. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I always give the example. So exercise is supposed to be a physical representation of what it's like to exercise your faith. Mm. Okay, well, do you do that twice a week?
Right.
Mm. People are like, how often should I work out? Well, how often should you exercise your faith?
Often.
Often. Every day.
Yeah.
Right? So you should be moving your body every day.
Every day.
But people think it's this miserable process. And so it's this idea of everything's prone to decay, but if you start to show up every day and you start smaller, so everything in the kingdom starts as a seed. You start smaller, and you show up every single day and you keep building, all of a sudden you will gain compound interest that is gaining faster than the rate of decay on the other side.
Wow. That's interesting.
Okay. So people say, oh, I'm not, you know, and it also says, you know, don't grow weary in doing good, because in due time you will reap if you keep at it.
That's right. Okay.
So people, they start smaller and they quit because they don't see the results right away.
Yeah.
But if they were, if they're doing the right things, so the things that you have to do are not that hard.
Right.
That's the good news. The hard part is showing up every day.
Right.
Okay. So I always like to say, you know, the things that you have to do are not that hard, but the path is narrow. It's easy to get knocked off the path because life wants to knock you off.
Hmm.
Okay. So you just got to keep showing up every day and doing the things that you know you need to do, whatever that is. You know, we have a whole system for it, but but you know, it's showing up every day. I can't remember if we talked about it, but there's this example of, I came across this article of a couple who were in their 80s. Can we talk about that?
I don't recall.
They were at a wedding and they were dancing, and everybody was coming up to them because they're dancing like they're in their 20s still, and they move great. And everyone wants to know what their secret is. They said, well, we have a series of stretching and strengthening exercises, and we do them every day. And they said, but what really caught my attention, you know, you see people talk about that, is the mindset that they have, which was, our goal every day is to restore our bodies back to where they were the day before.
Wow.
If you do that every day, you can be in your 80s and you know, still dancing like you're 20.
Right.
So.
Our youth is renewed like the eagles. And, you know, we say it all the time, and you've made a point of it, and I don't know if Gloria Copeland came up with that or not, but inconsistency lies the power to be consistent. So he's talking about how it's being consistent in your fitness. You know, there's power in that, but, you know, we can take that over into the realm of the spirit, being consistent in your faith.
Yep.
And there's power in that.
Wow. You talk about alignment for assignment and consistency. Where it started for me, you know, right before I came across this 113-year-old guy, I came across, I wasn't reading my Bible at all, and I was kind of prepped for it before I met this 113-year-old guy, in that I came across a challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. And it said, if you do it for five years, it'll change your life. And sure enough for me, I mean, it did.
Right.
I mean, I haven't missed a day in a long time.
Wow.
But, you know, this 113-year-old guy, there were certain habits, things that he did. He said he never missed a day in 70 years.
70 years.
He never missed a day.
Wow.
It's over 70 years.
Wow. That's a lesson to be learned for all of us, I think.
Yeah. So a lot of it, we talk about at the gym, miracles happen if you just show up.
But you got to show up.
Yep.
And might be a message for everybody that's not here today. I don't know.
You can post that on the
we're going to take this and send it out to everybody.
Yeah.
Well, where can people learn more about this? I mean, here's our plug.
Yeah.
And you know, part of the reason why I wanted to have you in here.
Yeah. So we've got the gym here in Christiansburg. It's Foley Health and Fitness. The website is just foleyhealthandfitness.com. And we've got several options. We've got training in the gym. We have online coaching. And then we've got the books. I've got the 7 Days of Jesus book, which walks you through the 7 Feasts of Israel and the different revelations of Jesus and kind of that pattern for how do you cross over out of the wilderness and into kind of what you're called to do. That's the first book. And the second book, Cracking Heaven's Code, is, you know, teaches you every aspect of health, from mindset and emotions and nutrition, all those different aspects of health. And something new I didn't tell you we're going to start doing, we're going to start teaching a class at the gym on the 25th. It'll be Wednesdays. It'll be weekly, starting on the 25th. It's actually going to be free. We're going to actually be going through the book. It'll be 30 to 45 minutes per week on Wednesdays. It'll be at 12:30. And it's a free class that you can come in and just kind of learn more if you're wanting to learn more about, you know, what we're doing with that stuff.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, there's one quote that I really it stood out to me in the book. And it says, in this book, part of our process is to renew the way you see yourself and to see the potential that is already in you. To see the potential that is already in you. When you got born again, everything that you had need of is in you. And you just need to see the potential that is inside of you.
Yeah, so in the first book, the 7 Days of Jesus book, this is going back to that Feast of First Fruits again.
Yeah.
And so Jesus is crucified, presents himself up to the God the Father. He sows the Spirit of Jesus back into our hearts. Mm-hmm. And so some of the revelations we talk about in that chapter of that book is that, first of all, the Bible says, you know, your heart is like soil, right? And he says that he rolled away your heart and gave you a new heart. And so what is that picture? What does that actually mean? Like, I'm always big on, you know, I started the book looking for practical stuff. Like, how can I help clients or myself get better? Yeah. And I always like, if we're going to have some kind of spiritual teaching, to have like a practical, what does this actually mean for you? Like, what do you need to do? And this idea of the stone being rolled away. So we see on the third day, the stone was actually rolled away too, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. God rolled away the stone of your old heart and gave you a new heart. Well, what does that mean? What is the stone? Well, the stone, what was one of the punishments for sin in the Old Testament was being stoned.
Yeah.
Okay? And so you see Jesus, the woman's caught in adultery, they're about to stone her, and he's writing in the ground with his finger, right? Okay? Well, the Bible says that in the Old Testament, the law was written on stone, mm-hmm. and in the New Testament now, his law is written on your heart with the finger of God.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a picture of Jesus writing on the soil, which is your heart, instead of being condemned to stone, to being stoned to death.
Wow.
And so it's this idea of him rolling away the condemnation and guilt. You know, the biggest thing that zaps your seeing the potential in you and having, I mean, we're talking about having some confidence, I guess, in what God has done inside of you.
Right.
And Bible talks, Paul talks about you should be confident in what God has done inside of you.
Right.
And but a lot of times we allow what we've done in the past, and you know, I had to go through this too, of feeling guilty, feeling condemned, feeling, you know, whatever it is. And we talk about it in the book too. And, you know, forgiveness has to flow through three levels. You have to receive your forgiveness from God. You need to forgive others. But the one that's in the middle that people forget a lot of times is you need to forgive yourself.
That's right.
And it's hard to restore the coding in your heart if you won't forgive yourself too, because you're not going to see the potential there because you're condemning yourself over the things that you've done in the past. And so this idea of he rolled the stone away, he gave you a new heart. What did he put in there? What did he put in there? He says he put the kingdom of God in your heart.
Yeah.
It says, you know, in Colossians that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in there.
Yeah.
It says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in there.
Yeah.
You know, all this amazing stuff. And Peter says that everything you need for life and godliness is already in you. And so it's this idea of what's in the seed.
Right.
But it's also, you got to remember, what did we just talk about? It's a seed. Everything in the kingdom starts as a seed, but you have to cultivate it.
Yeah.
Okay? You have a role to play in showing up
consistently
and cultivating that seed. So it starts as a seed. So people are like, well, it says that I have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, but I'm not seeing that. Well, it's because it starts as a seed, and you have to grow it.
That's interesting. I just read this, and I don't know if you know this about Chinese bamboo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many of y'all know this about Chinese bamboo, but you plant it as a seed in the ground. And you have to water, they have to water and fertilize that every day. Not miss a day, talking about being consistent, for 5 years. For 5 years, you don't see anything. But then in the fifth year, that bamboo sprouts out. And within 5 to 6 weeks, it can grow 90 feet tall. So we may not see results that we want to see. You know, we live in a microwave, we call it a microwave society, where we want instant results. You know, we're believing for something, we want to see it instantly. And sometimes that happens, obviously it does happen that way. It's miraculous. But, you know, sometimes we have to continue to water and fertilize that seed. But then when it sprouts, wow. That's when you're talking about supernatural harvest.
Mm-hmm.
90 feet in 5 weeks after 5 years of not seeing anything still laying dormant under the ground. Not dormant. Obviously, it's growing and establishing its root system.
And to kind of add to that, there's a law in the Old Testament. And you actually see Jesus reference it in one of the parables in the New Testament, which was that one of the laws was they weren't allowed to eat the fruit from a tree for the first 3 years. And then the fourth year, they had to give all the fruit to God. And it wasn't until the fifth year that they could actually eat the fruit from a tree. And there's a parable in the New Testament, I forget the reference, but where Jesus comes to one of the trees looking for fruit. Yeah. And he says, it's been 3 years, where's the fruit? And the guy says, well, there's none yet. He said, well, let's dig around it and we'll fertilize it and then we'll give it one more year. Wow. And then in the fifth year, we should have some,
right.
should have some fruit. Wow. So to kind of tie into your five-year thing there.
So the moral of that story, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Continue to water. Continue to fertilize. Be consistent in what you're doing, and you will see the harvest of it. You will. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, Dan, I know you've got some books in the back. He's got books back there. If y'all are interested, I know that you can get them from Amazon.
Yep.
That's where I got my copy.
Yep. They're on Amazon.
Amazon.com.
They're paperback or Kindle as well. So.
Or Kindle as well. So anything. Do you mind if I open it up to questions?
Sure.
Anybody have any questions that you'd like, Wanda?
Yeah.
What about taking communion on a regular basis? How do you feel about that?
So that's actually something in the last couple months that I've learned a little bit more about, actually. We talk about the idea of table turners. The number one table turner in everything life is communion. So I actually take it every day.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of the most powerful things that you can do.
Yeah.
So, and I actually think it talks about, you know, I forget the passage, you may know it, but talking about, you know, several of you are weak and sick.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they're taking it, maybe not taking it correctly. I forget the exact passage, but I think it's it's the number one table turner. So what does a table turner do? I guess is another question. I always use the examples of the law of gravity and the law of lift. So the law of gravity keeps us here on the earth, whereas, you know, with airplanes, the law of lift overrides the law of gravity and allows us to fly in airplanes. Okay, so how does that actually happen? And this is a good tie-in for us for what the table turner actually does, is that and some of you guys may know more about this than I do, but I'm not an airplane specialist. The way the wings are set up on an airplane, they deflect the flow of air coming at the airplane. And it deflects the flow of air, which causes it to speed up on one side of the wing and to slow down on the other. So effectively what it does, anytime you get a change in speed, you get a change in pressure. Anytime you get a change in speed, the pressure changes. And so what it does is the table turner actually causes a change in pressure in your life. And it actually deflects the flow of whatever is coming at you and changes the pressure so that you get lifted up. It's the change in pressure that causes the lift to happen.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, because you talk about Jesus being the table turner.
Yeah, Jesus is the table turner. Now, the other part of the table turner is that for him to, you know, for an airplane to take off or for Jesus to flip tables over, if we're going to take a chair or tables and I'm going to flip them over, I got to have enough momentum going down the runway to actually let that principle take over. Okay, so we talk about being consistent and showing up. And one of the biggest things, I mean, I've been doing health and fitness stuff for 15, 20 years now. And the biggest thing people struggle with is momentum and consistency.
Momentum and consistency.
Momentum and consistency.
Momentum and
is there always, you know, if I'm getting ready to take off in an airplane and let this other principle take over, and I stop halfway and turn around and go the other way, I'm never going to get in the air.
Yeah.
Okay? If I go down the runway and I stop and then I start again, I'm never going to, the law of lift is never going to take over. I got to be consistent.
Yeah.
And I got to build momentum.
Yeah, and wanted to just add too, communion. I think, you know, I don't see it as a religious activity. I think it should be done every day in your house, because Jesus said, "What? As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." So why are you doing? Why are you taking communion? You're doing it to remember what Jesus did.
Yep.
You remember. You're doing it to remember the benefits of what he has done on the cross and what that means to you. So it should be taken every day.
Yeah. So, I mean, when we eat dinner, we actually, my kids and everybody, we all do it together, you know, every night at dinner, which is a pretty cool, a pretty cool thing too.
And if you have a habit of giving thanks at your meals, I believe that is a type of communion, really. I mean, you are giving thanks. It depends on, you know, what's in your heart at that time, but you are giving thanks to Jesus for what he has done for you as you take that meal. So, yeah. Anybody else? Well, Dan, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming out here. Thanks for sharing with us. Like I said, there. If you want to ask him more questions, you'll hang around for a little bit. And he's got books out there. If you want to purchase one, if you want to go on Amazon and do that, you can get that. But he has been instrumental. He's been a blessing in my life because of, when I came out of the hospital, I just knew that I needed to change some things. Not that I went in there because of those things. But I knew that I wanted to change some things in my body. And I just knew, it was just a knowing that if I started being consistent with my fitness and helping my body, I knew that would help my spiritual life. I knew it would. So I don't know, where you're at. But I know that there is, like Dan said, a correlation there. We are a three-part being. We need to take care of all three parts, not just one. Not just one. So, yep. Well, Dan, thank you. Yep. I appreciate
it. Thank
you, guys. Yep. Thank you, sir. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, thank you. Well, I'm not a professional interviewer, and, we've never done that format here, so I hope y'all were blessed by it. I believe it was, I even gleaned more just having Dan here and talking about it than things that I picked up in the book itself. I had a couple things that I wrote down I just wanted to share in addition to that, I think. I'm just going to let you talk to Dan about some of that stuff. So, let's just talk about, and we're not going to stay too much longer here. Let's just talk a little bit about health. And what the Bible says about health. In 3 John chapter 1, 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Doesn't it say that? I mean, everything is put into the Bible for a reason. It's not just to take up space. I know this looks like a big book. There are some pictures in the back of it. There are some references. But if you parse it down, it's really not. How many times do you read through it in a year, do you say? Three times. He reads through the entire Bible 3 times a year. And I know we think, wow. It's not that hard, though, is it, Dan? Consistency. Inconsistency lies the power. Inconsistency lies the power. That Greek word health, let me just share a little bit about what that means or what the Greek word meant. It's where we get our English word hygiene from. And it says, definition of it is properly, in good working order, hence healthy, in sound condition, and I like this, in balance. You talked about balance as well. It also means working well. It means to be free from debilitation or incapacity or handicap. Hence, functioning holistically with all parts working together or sound. The Bible says, he's not giving us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And people say, your body is sound. It means it's healthy. It's healthy. In fact, it became the ideal way to open and close personal letters in ancient times. They would say, wishing someone total health. And that's spirit, soul, and body. And Dan touched on that. We're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. And I know, in here we focus a lot on the spiritual side, right? We don't talk about the soulish realm a whole lot, your mind, will, and emotions. We don't talk about, and I thought that was so interesting about the emotions. And that is, I tell you, if I could take one thing away, I think that is going to be the biggest takeaway for me from the book, is that how your emotions are, not identifiers, what'd you call them? They're feedback. They are feedback. And if you can interpret the feedback, if you can interpret the code, if you will, you can apply it and change in that area. So it's alerting you, It's alerting you to something's going on, something's not right, and a change needs to happen. And that's, you know, this all fits in right in with a prophetic word that's been spoken over this church. You know, the word has been spoken that we're to be a spiritual hospital. And I believe this fits right in with that. We are people need to be mended. When they need Jesus, and when they have Jesus, they can be made whole. Nothing missing, nothing broken. But sometimes they need knowledge. They need understanding. They need discipleship. They need help. And I believe that we're going to be a part of that as this vision grows, as we see it grow. We are going to be a spiritual hospital. People are going to come in here and receive the restoration that they need, because that is our battle cry, right? Restore, restore, restore. We're restoring things to how God originally created them. We talked about the garden some. Another quote that I like in the book, too, it's under the second pillar, nutrition. It says, study your Bible as your first food for the day. Study your Bible as your first food for the day. And you talked about Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And if the beginning's right and the end's right, then the middle will work itself out. Well, if you start your day with the Word of God and you end your day with the Word of God, you can be rest assured, I believe, that the middle is just going to work itself out. Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified, the New Amplified. 1 Timothy 4, 8 says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness, that is spiritual training, is of value in everything and in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come. Now, I don't think Paul was saying that, you know, don't exercise your body physically. I don't think he was saying that at all. We're a three-part being, and part of one part of that third part is your body, right? But I think he was saying, he was putting emphasis on the spiritual exercise and how important it is to exercise your spirit, man. And it's even more important, you know, to exercise your spirit, man. We all get, you know, how many have bought into that? My last run-in with statistics is like the exercise business is like a $6 billion industry or something like that, you know. How many have gone out, bought the tapes? I need to lose weight. I'm going to do this exercise program. I need to eat better. I need to go on this diet. How many have done that and solely focused on that, but you hadn't even considered the emotional side of it? You haven't even considered the spiritual side of it? Right? But they're all connected. Can you see that? That is so cool. I think that is so cool. So we're a three-part being, and by applying spiritual training, we can, in turn, through the help of the Holy Spirit, get our soul prepared. Listen to this. Get our soul prepared, our mind, will, and emotions, to exercise our body. So what do I mean? One fruit of the Spirit is self-control, right? Haven't we been talking about the gifts of the Spirit? Fruit of the Spirit. We've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit, but this is fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Control over what? Y'all got to help me out. Self. I just said, right? Self-control. Control over self. And the soul is self. Your mind, will, and emotions are yourself, or selfish. We could say your mind, will, and emotions want to be selfish sometimes. And you need self-control, and how you get self-control or control over yourself is by training up in the spirit. Spiritual exercise. Amen? So by making the Bible our first food of the day, we can exert self-control over our soul, getting it to line up with the Word, which makes it easier to exercise our body. Our three-part being is all working together. Just like our physical body parts work together for the best possible outcome, our three-part being must work together for the best possible outcome. Do you see that? How it all has to be working together. And that brings us back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18 says this, but as It is, God has placed and arranged the limbs, and he's talking about the church. He has placed and arranged the limbs and organs in the body, each particular one of them, just as he wished and saw fit, and the best adaptation or best possible outcome. And if you compare that with Ephesians 4:11, let's turn there. Ephesians 4:11, I'm going to wrap this up because I think Dan did an awesome job of presenting the gospel through health and fitness. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11, we're familiar with this scripture because it's where we talk about the fivefold ministry. But if we compare what we just read in Corinthians, and it says in verse 11, starting in verse 11, it says, and I'm reading out of the Amplified Classic, so it's going to be a little bit different. And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, and some pastors, shepherds of his flock, and teachers. That's the fivefold ministry that we talk about. But verse 12 says, his intention was the perfecting and full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering towards building up Christ's body, the church. Verse 13, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, that is the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ and the completeness found in him. 14 says, so then we may no longer be children tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine, the prey of the cunning and cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting form of trickery and inventing errors to mislead. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love. Let us grow up in every way and in all things into him who is the head, even Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. For because of him, the whole body, this is the point, the church in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied, when each part, somebody say, I'm a part. With each part, with power adapted to its need, is working properly in all its functions, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. What do I take from that? We reach our best possible outcome by love. And we've been talking about love. Because faith works by love. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we must understand love if we want to please God. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. It said that God is love, right? And Jesus is God in the flesh. So Jesus is love in the flesh. So we're to imitate Jesus in this earth. Same things he did in this earth, we're to do. Same things he did, we are to do. And if you want to understand love better, read the Gospel of John. And don't even think about going to 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John until you have revelation about the Gospel of John. In fact, let's read Corinthians chapter 13. What do we know that as, or some of us know that as? The love chapter. All this information that Dan presented to us and all the information that you can find in his book, everything that you read in this book, we said all points back to Jesus, but it has to operate out of love.
It has to be in love. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. I'm in 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to read it out of the King James just because it's a little shorter. If you got it up there on the picture thing, the way of love is the title in my King James. It says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and as I'm reading this, I want you to identify yourself in this chapter. Just identify yourself in this chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not... The King James says charity. That's just a word for love. I'm going to say love. Let me start one more time. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So it all operates by love. Everything we do, say, everything that we are, operates by love. So we need to have an understanding of what love is. We really do. We need to have a revelation of what love is. Because if you operate, you know, we talk about spiritual gifts and I want to see spiritual gifts in operation, not only here, but, you know, when we're witnessing and testifying to people out in the public realm, if you will, and people that don't know Jesus, you know, that speaks to someone. When you go up and give them a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, or you lay hands on them and they're healed, or you introduce them to a miracle or what have you. Those things are powerful and can change their life. But I'm telling you, if you're not operating in love, there's no power there. There's no power there. So we got to get our love walk right. We got to get our love walk right. Right? Say, I'm in love with Jesus. Say, I love you, Pastor. I think we've gotten some great insight. Dan, thank you again so much for taking the time to come and speak with us. And but you know, we can, again, we just talked about it, we can have all the knowledge. We can have all the knowledge, but we have to do something with it. Right? We have to do, just like my phrase that I like to use, you know, I told you, you know, Spirit of the Lord, give you ears to hear what He is saying. Well, as He says it, again, you got to get revelation of it, and then you got to speak it out. What did I write down? I wrote this down this morning as we were in prayer class. Wanda was talking about this. I said, declaration precedes manifestation. You want something to manifest in your life? You need to be declaring it out of your mouth. Amen? You need to be declaring it out of your mouth if you want it to manifest in your life. And it needs to be done in love. Amen? Well, Father, thank you, Lord. I pray in the Holy Spirit that you seal these words to our heart today. They become revelation to us. That we have a deeper understanding, a better understanding of what love is, and also just how things work in the kingdom to bring the three-part being into alignment. That three-part being, they need to be in alignment with each other. They need to be working together. And when they're working together, fully functioning, nothing missing, nothing broken, Lord, that is where the power is. That is where the power is. So I thank you today that you've shed light on some areas that we may have been sitting in darkness in or just needed clarification of. Father, and I thank you that your word does not return unto you void, but it does accomplish that which it's been sent to do. Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And let us act on those words that we hear. And let us act in faith. And we know that faith works by love. So give us a revelation, not only in your love for us, but a revelation that we're to love ourselves and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I believe once we get that revelation that all these other things will start to fall in line. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for meeting us here today. We thank you that we can come here and gather as like-minded believers and encourage one another in the word, encourage one another in our life, wherever, whatever station of life we may be in. We have something to offer. We are unique. We have a purpose. We have things inside of us that people need. And we need to send those things out. We need to get them out there. We need to do that. So, Father, I thank you that we are doing that here at Christian Growth Center. I thank you that you've given us many different aspects of our vision, but restoration being one of them. I thank you for the assignment that you have on this church coming up, and we're going to talk more about that. Operation School Guard. Father, I believe that you are going to anoint that mission, if you will, and it will prosper. It will do what you intend it to do, and you're preparing people's hearts even now, preparing their hearts to take hold of that and to speak those things into existence. That's how you created everything. You spoke it into existence. We want to speak to our bodies, to our lives, to our emotions, to our mind. And we want to speak to you, your word. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.